It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Stan Lee, the legendary creator of comic book heroes like Spider-Man, Iron Man, and the X-Men, died this week at the age of 95. We're going to spend some time this morning looking back on his life, his legacy, and his contributions to American pop culture, from the earliest days of Marvel Comics to the latest big-budget superhero films. Were you a Stan Lee fan? If so, how did you react to the news of his passing this week? And when were you first introduced to his work? Was it through the comics or his big-budget superhero films? Which Lee creation is your favorite? Spider-Man, Iron Man, the Fantastic Four, or some other character? What do you think Lee will be best remembered for? And what will be his lasting impact on American culture? Give us a call. Join the conversation. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Chris Yogerst, Assistant Professor of Communication in the Department of Arts and Humanities at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, is with us this morning. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
First of all, what was your reaction when you heard the news that Stan Lee had passed away?
It was actually, I heard from a student. I'm actually, one of the classes that I teach with a philosophy colleague of mine is a class called Superheroes and Mythology, where we study how mythological stories get rebirthed through other genres. And the superhero is such a prominent genre right now, particularly with its A-list films. And actually, a student just came into my office and was like, "Oh my God, did you hear the news?" And I, you know, that's how I heard. And of course, then I had to go online and see what everyone else was saying. And I mean, the guy was 95. He was doing something right. He lived a very full life, a very respected guy. One of the things that I was thinking about when I got an email yesterday to come on your show is what might be a good context to put this in, because even though Stan Lee was this major figure for a lot of people who read comics or watch superhero movies, I was thinking maybe not everybody knows why this is such a big deal and why so many people are talking about him. So I started thinking about a context to put him in. And I came to comparing him with somebody like a Jim Henson or a Walt Disney, somebody who's created just a ton of characters, or co-created a ton of characters that have this, that are going to live long past the creator who created them.
I think that's a fair context, and it certainly does give us a frame for this conversation. A lot of people are familiar with Stan Lee's work, but less so with the man himself. Can you maybe fill in some background here, if you will? Who was Stan Lee?
Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting story. So he was born in 1922 in New York. He was one of our greatest generation. He was born Stanley Lieber. And he actually, the name Stan Lee was a pen name that he created once he started working in comics. He started working at age 17. He lived through the Depression, started working very early to help his family, got into the comics industry. And at this time, the comics industry was not glamorous at all. I mean, when you look at the documentaries and photos of the early years in comics, it was very much kind of like early Hollywood, in the sense that it was just real scrappy and overcrowded rooms of people working on things that, you know, they didn't really think they were making history. The funny thing about his pen name is that he created Stan Lee because he wanted to save his actual name, Stanley Martin Lieber, because he was going to become this great American writer and write this novel, and he wanted to save it for something good. But what ended up happening, of course, as history would have it, is he ended up becoming the face of this industry and this stuff. But his first project, he was an assistant to Joe Simon and Jack Kirby at Timely Comics, and this is an early version of Marvel. And his first story credit was Captain America number 3 in May of 1941. So this is Captain America, one of the most iconic characters. And this is a pre-Pearl Harbor issue, which I think is interesting. But a lot of his early stories were, he was influenced by 1930s action movies, the Tarzan movies, the swashbuckling stuff with Errol Flynn. But he only worked here for a little while before enlisting into the Army. And he enlisted on November 9th, 1942, and he got into the Signal Corps and ended up working on the training films division after that. And this is where Frank Capra was. This is where he made the Why We Fight series that's been talked about a lot but with historians. But he wrote training films. He wrote film scripts. He created posters, instructional materials, a lot of this stuff used by the Office of War Information. And during his time, he kept in contact with the comic industry. It was still growing. He returned, and then he returned to what was Timely Comics again, and then it turned into Atlas Comics. And the superhero genre was going away a little bit, and he helped revitalize that. And that was one of his big early contributions. But that's really where he came from.
Stan Lee didn't invent the comic book or the comic book superhero. How did he revolutionize them?
Right, and that's why I came to the comparison with Henson and Disney, because these guys, you know, Henson didn't create puppets and Disney didn't create animation, but they really helped solidify the medium. And where Lee comes in is that in the 1950s, he lived through this interesting era where comics almost died. So something happened to the comics industry that was very similar to what happened in the film industry in the 30s. And a psychologist named Frederick Wortham wrote a book called Seduction of the Innocent in 1954. And basically, he was a psychologist in New York who was fearing that popular culture was a major contributor to juvenile delinquency. There were public hearings on comics. People were trying to legislate comics. There were public burnings of comics. It was a mess. So what they ended up doing was adopting a production code, not unlike, they basically followed exactly what Hollywood did in the 30s. And this was a way to avoid government censorship. And like I said, it almost killed the industry. So what Lee did, by the early 1960s, he started putting together and co-creating characters that, and again, during the 50s, the superheroes were not as popular. I mean, you had Superman on TV, granted that was DC, but he created the Fantastic Four with Jack Kirby, and these characters revolutionized the industry because they weren't just these all-powerful characters. They had human elements, and they were relatable. They were flawed, and particularly by the time you get to Spider-Man, you have this kid essentially who has these superpowers. He's trying to deal with the loss of some family members, and he's also then trying to deal with these supervillains. So that's a character that Lee created with Steve Ditko, but where his biggest contribution during this period was how he ended up ending the censorship reign. So you had this code of ethics that said you know what you can and can't publish. So one of the things he wanted to do by the late 60s, early 70s, he wanted to do a Spider-Man issue that dealt with drugs. And there's a lot of conversations of drugs during this era, but the Comic Code Authority would not allow him to depict drugs. And his argument was, well, it's an anti-drug issue. It's an anti-drug series. They still wouldn't let him publish it. So what he decided to do is publish it without a seal of approval. Generally, you needed the seal of approval to get the issue released. He decided to publish it without the seal of approval. It became a huge seller, and that opened the floodgates for people to get a little more courageous and creative.
Chris, we need to get to a break here, but we'll continue that story in just a moment. Chris Yogerst is with us to talk about Stan Lee. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Stan Lee, the legendary creator of comic book heroes like Spider-Man, Iron Man, the X-Men, died this week at the age of 95, and we're taking a look back on his life and legacy. Were you a Stan Lee fan? Did you, as a child, did you get into all the DC Marvel rivalry stuff? I mean, I have to admit I did. I was growing up in the 60s, and that was kind of a thing then. When were you first introduced to his work? Was it through comics or through the films? And which Lee creation is your favorite? Share with us at 800-642-1234. Chris Yogerst is with us to talk about Stan Lee this morning. He's an assistant professor of communication in the Department of Arts and Humanities at UW-Milwaukee. Chris, when were you first introduced to Stan Lee's work, and what impact did it have on you?
Well, it's funny because I feel kind of blasphemous. I was a Batman guy growing up. So
hey, me too. A Batman, The Flash, yeah. I was a DC guy all the way.
For sure. So I've kind of worked backwards, where I got to know him much more recently and working backwards. Actually, the first time I was introduced to him was his cameo in Kevin Smith's movie Mallrats, which is absolutely hilarious. And I was like, I got to know more about this guy. But I think a lot of the newer stuff, the Iron Man films really got me jacked up about learning more about him. I knew more about him before I knew about his characters. So I think the newest movie trend has really caused me to start backtracking through all of his creations.
Well, Stan Lee was different than other comic book publishers because he was really out there. He was part of the work and was really up front, and you didn't see that in DC. It was more traditional, you know, granite-jawed superheroes who led lives of incredible purity and never had any moral ambivalence. And Stan Lee was creating characters that said, the heck with that, we're real human beings who just happen to have superpowers. And it was very controversial. There was a lot of rivalry when that came out. Is it fair to say that Marvel caused major changes in the DC universe as well? I mean, the characters we see now seem to be a lot different than the ones that I grew up with as a comic book reader.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely a lot of talk about that. I mean, a lot of the DC characters are, that's what's interesting. There's a lot of criticism of the DC movies right now, and particularly when Batman versus Superman came out and people were complaining it was too dark, but the comics were pretty dark. And that's something that Marvel has been able to transition into film a lot more effectively with their franchises and make them accessible and make them funny. And I think that the popularity of those movies is definitely impacting DC, and they're trying to figure out how to make their movies work like the Marvel ones are. So I think that rivalry has transitioned into film now.
Well, how much involvement did Lee have with the films themselves? How much of the success of these films can we credit to Stan Lee?
Well, and that's a good question. I was trying to dive into that a little more last night because it's you know, when you look at all the new movies, he's always credited as an executive producer. So and that can mean a variation of things in Hollywood. But as active as he was, I'm guessing he was giving input on variations of levels on all of these projects. I mean, he was certainly making the cameos still, which I heard we still have two more to go. But he came to Hollywood in the 80s and with very minimal success was trying to get superhero movies onto screen. And this was the same decade that Michael Uslan was trying to sell Batman, and it took him 10 years before Warner Brothers would pick it up. All the studios declined at first. So Lee ran into similar issues, and I think his biggest contribution is just remaining the face of the genre, the face of the industry, and really becoming a superhero himself.
Let's take a call. Brian joins us from Superior. Brian, good morning.
Morning. I've been a big, big Marvel fan since the mid-60s when I was a little kid. But everyone who knows me knows I talk about comic books way too much, but especially Lee, Kirby, and Ditko. I just want to, I don't know if you've talked about the Marvel method of creating their comics back in the early 60s when Kirby and Lee would get together and hash things out. And they would just, when you don't necessarily write anything down, Kirby would go home and draw it, and it might not even relate to what they talked about. And then Stan would edit it, write it, maybe send it back. And the fact that Ditko So there was a story once that was Dr. Strange, and we had no idea that he was doing this. He had no involvement at all, and he has admitted that in the interview once. And it seems like Ditko and Kirby are kind of, they weren't aggrandizing, or they couldn't, they didn't have that public persona that Lee did.
Brian, thanks for your call. What about the Marvel method? What was different about that, the way they created stories, as Brian points out?
Yeah, I mean, this was there's a lot of comparisons between early comics and early Hollywood, where the writers were making lots of stories very quickly, very cheaply, and this is something that, I mean, the caller brought up a good point about the relationship between Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. I mean, they created some wonderful stuff. The relationship wasn't that great. And a lot of parts, I think a lot of the success of Stan Lee over the years is just being in the right place at the right time. And he was able to create these characters or co-create these characters, but more importantly, able to sell these characters to a mass audience in a way that nobody else could do it. And market them in a way no one else could do it, and help them be relatable to a way that no one else could do it.
And they were, you know, Lee seemed to be kind of a provocateur. I mean, he introduced the kinds of candidates that superheroes and characters that nobody else was doing at the time, and really pushed a lot of boundaries. That really worked for him, didn't it?
It did. It did. And that's why I wanted to bring up how he pushed the censors back with Spider-Man. And then during that same time, what he did is he had on one of the back pages or on the back of the issue, he had Stan's soapbox where he would give his personal opinions on things. And people have been posting their favorite ones on social media. And that's one of the things I'm working backwards on and reading some of the things that he was saying to readers at that time.
Comic books still alive and kicking, but with so many entertainment options out there now, sales of comics seem to be trending downward. With that in mind, is there room for another Stan Lee to come along and revolutionize the comic book industry once again, or is that impossible in this environment?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. It's definitely more difficult because there are so many options and our attention is being pulled in so many directions. And going back to my original comparison of Henson and Disney, I mean, we've got so many of these characters now that are, they can live on their own. You know, we've got, you know, Netflix continually coming out with new Marvel shows. Season 3 of Daredevil just came out that I'm working through. And there's always room for revolution, though. There's always room for, there's always going to be somebody that comes along and changes the game. It's just a matter of time.
And many of us are too busy looking at cat memes on Facebook to read comic books anymore.
Right.
How do you, what lasting impact do you think Lee has left on American pop culture?
I really think, I mean, it's also a difficult question. I mean, the characters are so iconic, but I think that Lee's attitude and his just constant positivity and support of fans and connection with fans is something that will leave a lasting impact on anyone who's met him and those who haven't met him. And I really think it's just his personality and just the fact that he was just a really great guy in a really fun industry.
And whether we like them or not, superhero movies, big business, thanks to Lee and others, are they here to stay?
I think so. I think so. I think that, I mean, that's one of the things we talk about in our mythology class, these kinds of stories. They go up and down in popularity, but they never really go away. I think the superhero genre is a lot like the Western. It's going to have its day. It's going to become less popular, but it's always going to be there influencing.
Well, we've always liked a good myth. I mean, human beings love those kind of stories, and if you can tell them in an entertaining way, I think you'll always have an audience. How do you think Lee will be best remembered?
Oh, well, I mean, he's one of these people. One of the brilliant parts of his ability to brand was also his ability to brand himself. So he did, you know, some people might argue that he was kind of printing the legend and he was able to write his own story and all of that. But I think that, you know, the cameos in movies, I mean, you know, when you look at the new movies, every time he shows up for the split second he does, everybody cheers So I feel like he might even be remembered more than some of his characters, at least for the time being. As it goes, I think he's just going to be remembered as the face of the entire genre.
He certainly seemed to be a real branding expert at a time when people weren't even really talking about that term. So certainly he would be remembered for that. Chris Yogers, thank you so much for spending this time with us talking about Stan Lee. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Yogers is an assistant professor of communication in the Department of Arts and Humanities at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Coming up, more reaction to the spate of dark store loophole referenda around Wisconsin last week. We'll get another viewpoint. You're listening to The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson.